This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Wong Shaoning. It's 8:35 in the morning, Thursday the 11th of February. And in about 10 minutes, we'll be diving into Malaysia's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic with analysis from Dr. Musa Noordin. But before that, let's talk about major personnel changes in some of the country's biggest GLCs. The Naga National Berhad's President and Chief Executive Officer, Dato' Sri Amir Hamzah Azizan, will be appointed as CEO of the Employees Provident Fund. Effective March 1st, pending approval, of course, from the Finance Ministry. Now, in a statement yesterday, EPF, which has total assets close to R1 trillion, said Amir Hamzah takes over the position of Tunku Ali Zakri Alias, who's been at EPF for 7 years, with over 2 years as CEO.
This once again brings to mind questions around government-linked companies and government-linked investment companies in terms of their leadership and the process and transparency of these decisions, especially considering that there are public stakeholders here. In fact, this is the question we asked you on Twitter. Should there be more checks and balances with regards to political appointments at GLCs? And with 130 votes in, 91% have said yes, with only 2.4% saying no is the government's prerogative. Less than 1% say no, enough as is. And 6% say they don't care.
Pretty landslide result there on our poll. But for some more insight, this morning we are going to be speaking with P. Gunasegaram, editorial consultant at The Vibes. Guna, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, TNB CEO Dato' Sri Amir Hamzah Azizan will be appointed as CEO of the EPF effective March 1st, of course, pending approval. What are your initial thoughts on his appointment? What does he bring to EPF?
Well, he is a career professional and has a good track record. But he has never worked with EPF before. And as far as I can see, he has no fund management experience. So this is the first time in perhaps well over a decade that an outsider has been appointed to the top position at EPF. So he has a pretty steep learning curve. But I think the key question is, why is Tunku Ali Zakri leaving? And will Amir Hamzah face the same kind of pressures that presumably Tunku Ali Zakri was facing?
Now, Amir Hamzah takes over from Tunku Ali Zakri, who has been CEO since August 2018. And before that, as you noted, Guna, the process of CEOs have come from within EPF itself for some time now. Ali Zakri was deputy CEO. Now, changing CEOs, especially for GLCs and GLICs, has been a rather common phenomenon over the last 12 months. But for something as important as the EPF, should the reasons and the processes here be more clear and transparent?
Yes, certainly. But the EPF board, however, is under the EPF Act, is appointed by the Minister of Finance, who can also give instructions to the EPF on certain things. But for probably more than a decade now, the government has had a hands-off approach with respect to EPF, letting it be professionally run until the onset of COVID-19. So EPF was being used to reflate the economy to counter the downturn caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So they took three measures last year. Three measures were announced. First, with effect from April 1st, the employee's minimum statutory contribution to EPF was reduced to 7% from 11% of salary, which is a reduction of over one-third. So and then there is the I Lestari withdrawal also in with effect from April 2020, from account 2, which is discretionary withdrawal, 30% of total contributions. This allows maximum 500 ringgit a month for 12 months with a total of up to 6,000 ringgit. And then in November 6th at budget, this was the ICNR program, which was announced to withdraw EPF for the first time from account 1 on a targeted basis. So originally, this is the crucial part. Originally, this was to cover about 600,000 EPF members. So subsequently, there was much pressure, especially from UMNO, as in return, if you remember, the budget had to be passed. So there were concessions which the government made to UMNO to get support for the budgets to be passed. So from 600,000 members, it was increased in two steps, first to 2 million and then to 8 million members. And if you consider that this is more than the active members of EPF, which is 7.6 million, and the total number of EPF members was about 14.6 million at that time. So this kind of pressure basically meant that meant a situation which was extremely detrimental to members in terms of the amount of money that they will have to withdraw previously, because they are withdrawing too much of money at the moment. So if you are looking at that at a 30-year horizon, say for 10,000 ringgit, you know, 10,000 works out to about 57,000 30 years down the line if you assume a return of 6%. So it's no small matter, and it is very likely that that the EPF was resisting these pressures from the government.
So, I mean, taking a look at a broader landscape as well of EPF over this time horizon that you illustrate, I mean, continuity of strategy is also very important when we talk about EPF, which makes investments for the long term. So what are some of the potential issues that you see, not just from this change of CEO for the organization, but also this increased interference perhaps as well from the government that we're seeing?
All right. Now that they have changed, the person who is coming in was not from the EPF and does not have fund management expertise. So he's got a pretty steep learning curve. At the same time, this pressure from the government to use EPF to reflate the economy is not likely to go away, and it sets a dangerous precedent. If you compare with the last 10 years, the government has got a pretty much a hands-off approach to this. But in the past, they have actually used the EPF to make quite questionable investments, you know, like Time.com, Makuasa, you know, those kind of things in the history before. So this is actually a retrograde step in that sense. So, and it actually affects the continuity in leadership strategy, which is extremely important for EPF, which handles the largest amount of funds in Malaysia at almost 1 trillion ringgit.
So with the on that note of leadership there, Guna, with EPF being accountable to its members overall, how would you assess Ali Zakaria's tenure of over 2 years?
All right, the thing to remember, I think, is for quite a number of years before that he was deputy CEO, so he has had a culture of being in EPF, and I think his predecessor, who is now Khazanah National MD, Dato Sharul Reza Rizwan. So Sharul had done a lot of work to improving the EPF's processes and systems, and making sure that it was professionally run. So they worked as a team, and then when he came over, he continued in the same manner. But unfortunately, I think he had a lot of pressure from the government in these last 2 years. So my suspicion is that it's because of these differences in opinion with the government as far as retirement benefits are concerned that he is departing. You know, so I think he tried what he could, you know, but the odds are stacked against him because of the way the EPF is structured within the EPF Act, which gives a lot of power to the Minister of Finance. It is incumbent upon the government to appoint professionals and then leave them alone to do their jobs. No, not to apply pressure on them to make them do the wrong things, in effect.
So, Guna, overall, does this signal perhaps a larger concern around leadership of government-linked entities and the potential impact of politics? How should leaders then be appointed to organizations like the EPF, PNB, or even Khazanah?
Yeah, basically, you know, they should be picked carefully, reflecting their ability and competence, you know? And then a proven track record is extremely important for these kinds of top positions. But more importantly, they must be left alone to do their job. So, I think the greater concern among many of these GLC appointments was that politicians were appointed to key Persians, you know, around the DRC sphere. And these politicians are certainly not competent to run GLCs. So even in the basic appointment of good people to take care of GLCs, the right thing is not being done. And then on top of that, even when they have good professional managers, they are interfering, you know, in the way that they operate. So that's really bad.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Gunnar. That was P. Gunnar Segaram, editorial consultant at The Vibes, with his thoughts on the appointment of TNB CEO Datuk Sri Amir Hamzah Azizan to the post of at the Employees Provident Fund CEO. Shanning, what were some of your thoughts listening to what Gunnar had to say?
Well, I think it's probably a very onerous task to find a replacement for Tunku Ali Zakri. I mean, the level of commitment, experience, knowledge is definitely high when you consider you're in charge of a fund close to 1 trillion ringgit, and so many members, you know, expecting good returns and, you know, hoping to retire well on how much EPF pays you when you finally quit your job and you move into the sunset at 55 or 60, whichever date you want to withdraw the money. But I think what his point is very important is that, you know, once you've hired that person, then the government should actually let that person roll out whatever strategy that they have considered carefully and not interfere. Because when you think about EPF, it's a long-term investment strategy, and that's important. So there shouldn't be, you know, there should be minimal disruptions to that. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah, and end of the day, this isn't a look at Dato' Amir Hamzah's own credentials, right? Because he's a career professional, as Gunnar noted. It's just the concern over when you appoint someone who's going to hit a 1 trillion ringgit fund, shouldn't they have some fund management experience and, end of the day, have been from internal, right? Because that's what's been the case so far as we look to EPF as being this very professionally run body over the last decade.
Yeah, so we will have to wait and see what more news comes out of this, whether or not the finance minister also gives his approval, and how Dato' Amir Hamzah continues to take the helm over at EPF. But right now, we're about to head into some messages, and then up next, we're going to be diving into Malaysia's handling of COVID-19 SOPs with analysis from Datuk Dr. Musa Noordin. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.